on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Don Nettleton joins us. He's the host of the Voice of the Martyrs radio. You hear the short vignettes throughout the day on KLYT as well. And he's the author of When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. Todd, thanks for coming back to join us again.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, and honestly, I mean, we could have you regularly because there's always updates. I know you know better than I do how much things change around the globe, and quite honestly and sadly, how things stay the same when it comes to the persecution of the saints. And I want to draw our listeners to the website before we get much further. Persecution.com is a website for Voice of the Martyrs. You want to spend some time there. We'll probably take a little time in our conversation to walk the listener through some of the things that they'll find on the website. Todd wanted to get to some of the things happening in way of update. I know there's this new freedom of religion law and I'll let you pronounce the where it is on the planet. I'll totally mispronounce this.
Since it's radio, it's hard because when you say freedom of religion law, you kind of have to put air quotes around it. People can't see us doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
It is in the state of Chhattisgarh, which is one of the states in the nation of India. It is actually the 13th state in India that has what they call freedom of religion law. Now, we would call it an anti-conversion law. This law makes it illegal to change your religion. It makes it illegal for you to encourage someone else to change their religion. We might call that witnessing to them. That's illegal under this law. They already had an anti-conversion law, but they didn't think it was harsh enough. So let me tell you some of the things they tightened up in this law. This is now a no bail offense, which means if you're arrested under this anti-conversion law, you cannot get bail. And, you know, even if you're completely innocent, even if at the end of the court process, the judge says you're innocent, that could be a year, it could be 2 years. And again, no bail, you're in jail that whole time. The other thing that really shocked me about this law is it specifically says that if you hold a mass conversion event, life in prison is the prescribed punishment. Well, what is a mass conversion event? That is where two or more people change their religion. So literally, a pastor sits down with a husband and wife. At the end of the conversation, they decide, hey, we want to follow Jesus. So that husband, that wife, that's two people. That is a mass conversion event, and that pastor is required to go to jail for life under this new, and again, they call it with a straight face, freedom of religion law. And again, this is one of 13 states in India that has these laws.
Yeah, I'm going to guess it'd be more correctly labeled freedom of your religion law. And Todd, I'm going to take a wild guess what is the predominant religion in this state in India?
This is a mostly Hindu state, like much of India, mostly Hindus. And this is a Hindu nationalist state government that is putting this law in. In fact, the law specifically exempts conversion to Hinduism. So if you are converting to Hinduism, that is perfectly legal. But if you're converting to something else, or if you're a Hindu converting, say, to following Jesus Christ, that is illegal. They don't really try to hide the bias of this law by saying, hey, it's illegal to convert unless you're becoming a Hindu, then we're all fine with that.
Yeah. I guess I'm curious, you know, because often in America we see, you know, hey, everything's okay, man. Everything's good except for Christianity. Often, you know, when we see persecution here in the United States, in this state in India, does this law apply to someone, you know, is converted to Baha'i or Buddhism or Muslim, Islam?
It does apply to that as well. And in some ways, in some of the states in India that have passed anti-conversion laws, what they are particularly concerned about is the growth of Islam. There are places in India where Islam is growing very quickly. They will talk in India in some places about what they call love jihad, where a Muslim man would marry a Hindu woman and then convert that woman, or that woman would convert to Islam as a part of that marriage. Well, that's love jihad. We've got to put a stop to that. And, you know, when they talk about these laws, they talk about forced conversion or bribing someone to convert. And, you know, we wouldn't want somebody to be forced to convert. We wouldn't want somebody to be bribed to convert. But I had the opportunity to have a human rights attorney from India on Voice of the Martyrs radio late last year. And one of the things she said is, when you start looking at, okay, well, we don't want people to be bribed to change their religion. Yeah, we don't want that. But they will come in and say, your church is serving donuts and coffee before the service. Well, that's an enticement. That's an illegal enticement to get people to change their religion. That's bribery. And it's like, no, that's donuts and coffee before church. We're not bribing anyone. You're not required to change your religion in order to get a donut. But that is the kind of things that these laws will use to say, look, they're bribing people to change their religion. They're giving away tea and cookies before the service.
So, Todd, as I hear about this, you know, persecution going on in the state in India, I'm going to assume that the evangelists, missionaries, and pastor Christian evangelists and Christian missionaries and Christian pastors in the state are not I guess we can't share the love of Christ and the gospel.
I guess we'll shut down our church.
Yeah, not happening, right?
It's not happening. And one of the things that is happening is pastors are going to prison under these laws. In the states, that we know of dozens of pastors right now in prison in India under these anti-conversion laws. And one of the causes for hope, and really I would encourage people to pray, there is a challenge to these laws that is in the process of getting a Supreme Court review in India. And there was talk late last year of maybe at least a stay against these laws while the Supreme Court decided. The Indian Constitution promises religious freedom. And so it seems very clear that if you have a law that says you're not allowed to change your religion, that violates the Constitution. That violates that promise of religious freedom. So far, the judges have not ruled on this appeal. It's somewhere in the process, and they're trying to get all of the states that have these laws to be a part of this so that once they make a decision, it's final, it's for everybody. And so that is an item for people's prayer list, that pray that the Supreme Court will rule justly and really stand up against this, because they're facing a lot of pressure from a Hindu nationalist government, a Hindu nationalist national government, as well as various state governments, to not say these laws are unconstitutional, when it seems very clear. I'm not a lawyer, but it seems very clear that telling someone they're not allowed to change their religion is not freedom of religion.
Yeah. Well, and actually I'm glad you went to that, because how can we practically apply this knowledge to the body of Christ for action? And a very practical way to act is to get on our knees and pray. With that, I actually, from persecution.com on the homepage, I want to encourage our listeners to go there. If you scroll down, you'll find a map of the world, and you can click on India, and it'll give you other, prayer points. But do keep this legislation, this law, it's legislated, it's there. Keep the Supreme Court decisions, in prayer. Todd, in addition to prayer, any other practical steps in this issue in India for our listeners to consider?
You know, I think certainly our government in the U.S. has relationships with India. There are trade relationships that are involved. There is, you know, obviously manufacturing and things that happen in India. I think it's good to pray. It is also good to let our own government officials know that this is something we're paying attention to. This is something we're watching. And hopefully, as they have conversations with Indian leaders, they can be a voice for religious freedom and a voice that kind of says, hey, you know, we'd much rather trade with places that respect human rights, respect religious freedom, and just kind of use the power of the purse, the power of their government platforms to be a voice for religious freedom.
And of course, India is not the only place that we're seeing things happen. Let's move on to the next country on our update list, and that is China. Of course, our President Trump recently visiting there, and persecution of the church in China, really a timely topic.
It is very timely, and we understand that President Trump did raise the issue. At least one of the imprisoned pastors in China was raised in his conversations with Xi Jinping. Hopefully that will produce some movement. Hopefully that will produce freedom for that pastor. But we know there are others. There are other pastors who are in prison. There are churches that have been closed down. One of the features of Xi Jinping's leadership in China has been increased persecution of Christians. And we used to talk about persecution in China when I first came to VOM, now 28 years ago. We could point to different provinces of China and say, hey, you know, in that province, there's a lot of persecution, but in this province over here, there's not a lot of persecution. Well, the leader of one of those provinces where there was a lot of persecution was Xi Jinping. And I think he sees that as part of his recipe for success. He cracked down on the church. He tried to get control of religious expression. And look, he got promoted. Now he's the president of the whole country. And he has brought that philosophy to the national government. And so where we used to see it, like I say, different provinces, different enforcement, now enforcement is being driven at the national level. And in fact, Beijing, we have heard from Christians in China, Beijing is sending out trainers to local police all over China to say, this is how you manage religion. This is how, and we would say, this is how you persecute Christians who won't cooperate, won't bend the knee to the Communist Party. This is how they should be treated. And that is very much driven by Xi Jinping from the top. So hopefully the conversations that President Trump had, hopefully raising this issue, will make some kind of a difference for how our brothers and sisters in China are treated.
Obviously, with new leadership there, it sounds from what you're saying, the persecution has really been more widespread in fewer pockets of areas where evangelists, Christian evangelists, Christian missionaries, and Christian pastors can continue to share the love of Christ through the gospel, sharing the gospel. Is there still some of those pockets where the work continues more unfettered? And is there any more specificity to how we can be praying for the body of Christ there?
There really are not pockets where the word unfettered, I would not use that any place in China right now. And we have seen such a crackdown, and foreign Christians have been kicked out of China. Some people think even 4,000 or 5,000 foreign Christians have been kicked out of China in the last 10 years. The technology that China has, the monitoring, the cameras, the facial recognition, it is just very, very difficult to continue ministry in China. But our brothers and sisters are doing it. And one of the things we can pray, I would pray specifically for Christians who are in prison. Pastor Wang Yi is one that comes immediately to my mind. He is serving a 9-year prison sentence. Pastor Ezra Jin was the one that President Trump brought up. He also is in prison, but there are many, many others who are imprisoned in China. Pray for them. Pray for their families. Being separated from your loved one is very difficult. not being able to get news. In the case of Pastor Wangi, we just had Bob Fu on VOM Radio last weekend, who is an expert on the church in China. He said Pastor Wang Yi's wife was allowed to visit him for 10 minutes, and that was it. They said the visit was over. She went home. She hasn't been able to visit since then. She said he looked very thin. He had clearly lost weight, but you know how 10 minutes is all you get. So pray for these prisoners. Pray for their families. It is just a very difficult. It's a very difficult thing that they're going through, and yet they are being faithful. Pastor Wang Yi has said that he is using the time that he has in prison to pray. And he has literally a daily prayer list in that numbers in the thousands that he is praying through as he prays, as he goes through the day, even praying for American Christians, even praying for the church here in the U.S. So they are remaining faithful, but they are under a great deal of pressure, and their suffering is very real.
Yeah. Well, Todd, we've talked about this before. With persecution often seems to follow growth of the church and strengthening of the church, whether in China or India, or in our next segment, we'll talk more about Iran. Are we seeing, in spite of persecution, growth?
Absolutely. The church is still growing. And frankly, that is why these governments are so upset. It's because more people are becoming followers of Jesus Christ. And, you know, if it is conservatively, I think we can say very, very clearly, there are more followers of Jesus in China than there are Communist Party members. And so if your power base is the Communist Party, and you just start looking at the numbers and saying, well, wait a minute, there's more Christians than there are in our party. How are we going to maintain control? That is what is driving the persecution, is this idea we have to control. We have to be in charge. We can't let people get distracted or people be, they would say, indoctrinated to not trust the Communist Party, to not follow what we tell them to do. And so, yes, the church is growing, and that is why we see so much persecution, because the government is trying to respond to that and stop that growth from happening.
Yeah. Well, of course, we'd love to see the continued growth of the church globally, though we don't want to pray for persecution so the church will grow, but we can pray for revival and for that to continue as it seems to be happening. Todd, we're up against a break. I would love to come back and talk more, including what I already mentioned, what's happening in Iran. Can you stay with us?
Sure.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect.
LYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
We continue our conversation with Todd Nettleton. He's a host of the Voice of the Martyrs radio and author of When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. Hey, Todd, real quick, before we jump into an update on the persecuted church in Iran, tell us more about the book.
The book, When Faith is Forbidden, is 40 of the most powerful stories that I have heard from persecuted Christians during my 28 years here at VOM, and the book is written really as an invitation. Hey, why don't you come on a trip with me? Let's take 40 days. Each day we're going to sit down with a persecuted Christian. We're going to hear their story. And my promise to the reader, I think it's God's promise to the reader, is on day 41, your faith is going to look a little different, because as we meet these brothers and sisters, as we hear their stories, as we're inspired by their example, our faith is challenged and changed and shaped. And so it has been a great adventure writing the book, releasing the book, and now hearing from readers who say, wow, it really impacted me to meet those brothers and sisters.
All right. Well, I would love to hear more. You know, people are hearing you say, come on a trip with me. Is that something that's available And if so, is it something they'd find anywhere at persecution.com?
It is available in the form of a book. It is not something, and it's, you know, it's one of the challenges of our work at VOM, is just sometimes getting in and out of the countries where we work, getting time with the believers that we are with. We talked in the last segment about China. I don't think I will ever go back to China because of the level of surveillance. It would be too dangerous for a Chinese Christian to welcome me or meet with me or even have a cup of coffee with me.
Which is really sad because it's a beautiful country.
It is a beautiful country and wonderful people, so much history, such great food. I mean, it is, I have loved my visits to China, but I just feel like at this point it would be impossible for me to go.
Okay. Well, without further ado, let's move on and get more updates. It's so valuable to hear from you, as you're connected with those in these countries suffering and doing the work of the Lord. And we can co-labor with them in that we support them financially. You can do that at the website I mentioned, persecution.com, or, of course, through your prayers. I'll once again mention on that homepage of persecution.com to scroll down to the map and click on the area of the world facing persecution for more specificity when it comes to the prayers that are needed. But Iran, Todd, tell us more.
Well, for the last several years, we have said that the fastest growing church in the world is in the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is one of the amazing works of God in our day. To see a church growing so fast in a country that is controlled by the mullahs, it is controlled by the Islamic structure, the Islamic leaders in Iran, but the church is growing. And one of the things when the war began in Iran, one of my first thoughts was, boy, I wonder how my Iranian brothers and sisters are faring in a country where now bombs are falling around them. And we have heard some pretty incredible stories of how Iranian Christians are using this time as a chance to be a witness for Christ. People are thinking about eternity. They're thinking about life and death. And so what better time to say, hey, let me talk to you about eternity. Let me talk to you about the source of life, the way, the truth, and the life. And so they are using this opportunity. One of my favorite stories since the war began is from a church group in Iran. Their city was being bombed. They needed to get out for safety. And they made the decision as a church group to go together. So they evacuated together and essentially turned it into kind of a church camp. Hey, we got to get out of the city anyway. Let's all go to the same place. We'll go together. And they spent their days in worship and teaching and studying God's word. And like I say, basically turned the evacuation order into a invitation to have church camp and spend those days together worshiping. I think that's a pretty good example of the spirit of our Iranian brothers and sisters. They are trusting that this is a turning point in the history of their country and trusting that God is going to move. And we have not had an Iranian Christian ask us to help them get out of the country since the war began. Instead, they're saying, hey, we think God is going to do something amazing here. We want to be here. We want to be here to see it. We want to be here to be a part of it. So they are faithfully advancing the gospel, even during a time of war, during a time of fear in their country. They are serving the Lord and advancing the gospel.
Well, Todd, whether Iran, China, India, persecution continues around the globe. And each year we have opportunity to really focus during the Day of the Christian Martyr. That is soon upcoming. Can you tell us more about that and how the body of Christ can engage?
Yeah, the Day of the Christian Martyr is June 29th, and that date is not an accident. That is the day, according to church history, that the Apostle Paul was beheaded outside the city of Rome. So that is the genesis of the Day of the Christian Martyr, and it's really a day to look backwards and be inspired by the example of brothers and sisters who gave their lives for the cause of Christ. And each year, Voice of the Martyrs does a short video. This year, the focus of that video is a woman named Perpetua. And many of our listeners will have heard, maybe heard that name, maybe heard a little bit about her. But Perpetua was a young wife, a young noble woman, and a young mother who came to Christ in the ancient city of Carthage, which is in modern-day Tunisia in North Africa. It was a Roman colony there. She became a follower of Jesus Christ, was involved in a church with new believers, and they were ordered to offer sacrifice to the Roman gods and to basically worship the emperor, worship the Roman emperor. And she and other believers said, no, we are followers of Jesus. We're Christians. We're not going to worship the emperor. Because of that, she was sentenced to die, ended up in the Colosseum, similar to the Colosseum in Rome, but in modern-day Tunisia. She was first gored by an ox and then eventually killed by a gladiator. One of the amazing things about Perpetua's story is she kept a journal while she was in prison awaiting her execution. And so we have the story in her own words. She's telling it. It's actually one of the oldest examples of a woman's writing that is still preserved through history. And so we know what she was thinking. We know that her dad, her own father, told her, deny Christ. You are a mother. You have a baby. Deny Christ. Light the candle, say something nice about the emperor so that you can raise your baby. And she said, I cannot do that. I am a Christian, and was willing to give her life for Christ. And so she is the focus. But like I say, this is really hopefully a day of inspiration. These are brothers and sisters who gave their lives for the cause of Christ. What would I sacrifice to see my neighbors reached with the gospel? What would I sacrifice to see my city changed by the message of Jesus Christ? And, you know, honestly, for most of us here in the U.S., the biggest risk for us sharing the gospel with our neighbors is an awkward conversation. They're probably not going to beat us up. They're almost certainly not going to shoot us. We're risking an awkward conversation, and hopefully the story of Perpetua, the story of other Christian martyrs, inspires us. Yeah, I think it's worth risking an awkward conversation to share the gospel with our neighbors.
Yeah, and again, the Day of the Christian Martyr is coming up June 29th. We encourage you to go to the website. We've already mentioned a couple of times, persecution.com, but go to persecution.com/martyr to find out more about this this day. And while on the website, I mean, all kinds of, Todd, we could spend a lot of time, a whole nother couple segments talking about all the resources available at persecution.com. I do want to call attention to a couple of them before we close our time out. As I mentioned when introducing you, host of the Voice of the Martyrs radio, heard on more than 1,000 Christian radio stations. And if you go to persecution.com, actually, you can go directly to Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Just go to vomradio.net, and you can listen there to the daily broadcast anytime at your leisure. It's on demand. Todd, what will people find as they tune, they click on? I was going to say tune in, but that's such a radio term.
You know, every week we talk to a persecuted Christian, someone who has sacrificed and suffered for the gospel, or someone who is working in countries where Christians are persecuted. Maybe they haven't been persecuted themselves yet, but they are actively working in those places where persecution is a likelihood, is a reality. Or we have our VOM staff who travel in and out of those countries. They share their stories. And it is a great place, and I would encourage, we have talked about ways that people can pray. One of the last questions I ask in the interviews I do is, okay, how can we pray? Hey, you've been talking about China. How can we pray for China? You've been talking about Eritrea. How can we pray for Eritrea? So it is a tool to help people pray as well.
All right. Well, I would encourage listeners to go there, as well as, you know, catch the Voice of the Martyrs short feature that is heard here daily. One other thing they can do now, you know, at the beginning of our conversation, I said, you know, with how things change around the globe, Todd, we, you know, literally could have you on more regularly to get those updates. One way the listeners can do that themselves is to get the newsletter that's available as well. Can you tell them how?
Yeah, persecution.com. We've mentioned that several times, but right at the top of the page, there's a button that says free magazine. If you just click on that, give us your name and address, we will send you the free monthly magazine from the Voice of the Martyrs. It gives you names and faces and places and stories of our persecuted brothers and sisters. Again, a way to equip you to pray, to be in fellowship with them. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember those in prison as if you were in prison with them. So the magazine is a great way for you to remember and to know what's happening with our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. Again, the website, persecution.com.
All right. Well, Todd, as I have shared with you and many others often, when we have a guest like you, this KLYT in New Mexico is a megaphone provided to the body of Christ for reasons just like this, to get updates. And it is your megaphone. Before we end our time, I want to throw it back to you in case there's anything else left unsaid you'd like to share.
No, but I would just encourage people, pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. That's the first thing they ask us to do, is to pray for them. And it's not a request to pray that they won't be persecuted. It's a request to pray that they will be faithful in spite of persecution. So I'd just encourage you this week to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who face persecution.
All right. Well, Brother Todd Nettleton, host of Voice of the Martyrs Radio, and as I mentioned earlier, author of When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. Thank you so much for your time. It is an honor, and we're humbled to co-labor with you in the work of the Lord and sharing the gospel around the globe. Thanks so much for all you do, you and the staff at Voice of the Martyrs.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'll look forward to our next conversation as well.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.